It's a Transcendent Tuesday, 25 minutes after the hour, and it's time for Dr. Don Clark. Don, a biochemist and a member of the Board of Creation Moments and a resident of Garden Valley, Texas. And Don is kind enough to join us just about every Tuesday morning here. We typically talk either biblical creation or science. Today we talk about a combination of the two, which is kind of nice. But Don has some, we've talked about COVID and Omicron and vaccines and immune systems so many times that we keep looking to Don for updates. So we're going to do that today. Apparently there's some new news out on the Omicron variant. What does this have to do with us who are unvaccinated, Don?
Oh, unvaccinated has nothing to do with the unvaccinated. Oh. It has everything to do with the vaccinated.
Oh.
Because, yes, because a new study just came out. Some researchers at the University of Oxford, of course, that's in England, found that people who have been vaccinated recently with the AstraZeneca or the Pfizer vaccine, their levels of neutralizing antibodies to the Omicron variant is dropping. So that means that the vaccines aren't as effective against these, and they're even having evidence of people who are not having any neutralizing antibodies. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is no antibodies being produced. It just means that they're not having neutralizing antibodies, and it's the neutralizing antibodies that is what you want in order to get the virus under control using vaccines. So the overall picture looks a little grim for the new Omicron. Now, this is not an unexpected result, by the way. Virologists and epidemiologists were saying this is what was going to happen if they started vaccinating everyone. So if they had just stayed with vaccinating those people who were most at risk, then we wouldn't be having these variants that we're having, and of course we wouldn't be losing the effectiveness of the vaccines.
Well, the vaccination actually prompts or catalyzes the move to a variation of the virus, does it not?
Well, if a lot of people get vaccinated, and that's what's happened in a lot of the developed countries, of course, is that they've been pushing the vaccines, and now they're pushing the booster shots. But as we can see from this study, the booster is not going to do you much good, because even if you have some more antibodies produced, you're not producing as many neutralizing antibodies that would actually go after and attack the virus.
Well, this would be the effect of the vaccination itself, which they have learned decreases in effectiveness as time goes on, whether it's the Omicron variant or the Delta variant or whatever other variant. The vaccine just kind of wears off.
Well, it wears off, but this is saying that there's a lot of people out there that aren't even producing the right types of antibodies, don't even have antibodies towards this new Omicron, even if they get vaccinated. So it's not, unlike what the government is saying and the health professionals are saying, it's not a foolproof type of thing, where if you get a booster, you're guaranteed protection against the virus, and that's indeed what we're finding.
Because the boosters are just the original vaccine all over again, right?
Yes, and it's supposed to, boost the antibody levels in your body. Well, if the antibodies that are being produced aren't neutralizing the virus, then it's not doing you any good.
I guess the good news is that Omicron is no big threat in and of itself. I mean, we've had, as far as I've heard, one death in the world so far.
We have, as of yesterday, there's been one person that has died. There hasn't been any information as to, were there comorbidities, how old the person was, whether they were vaccinated or not. Yes, there's only been one so far.
Why do you suppose that other relevant information has not been released?
I couldn't. Yes, exactly. Why do you suppose? Because chances are it was a vaccinated person, and, you know, who knows the age of the individual. If it was a young person, then, you know, that would be saying, gee, a young person that was vaccinated, then, gee, this stuff isn't working as we thought it was working. And indeed, we could be moving into the arena of antibody-dependent enhancement. So not only are you not getting the right types of antibodies, but the antibodies that you do get help to deliver the virus to your cells, which enhances the disease as opposed to suppressing the disease. So we don't know. I mean, it's pure speculation at this point, and we'll just have to wait until more data is revealed, if it ever is revealed, in this world that we have where information is suppressed.
Now, yesterday, the governor of Colorado came out and said, hey, we've beaten COVID here in Colorado, because the only people getting sick are the unvaccinated. The vaccinated people are doing just fine, thank you. And yet, I see national figures that say 40% of those with that have come down with Omicron are vaccinated people, which means about half of the people with the cases are vaccinated, the other half, roughly, not vaccinated. So it seems to me that the vaccine doesn't make any difference.
Yes, it's not protecting the individuals as folks you know, would have helped. And this whole issue of pushing the vaccines and mandating that everybody gets vaccinated is not a wise strategy. It's never been a wise strategy from the very beginning.
What say we start a new movement and we promote Omicron parties, and people get together, and you're not allowed to wear a mask, but you can come whether you're vaccinated or not. And everybody hugs and sings together and shouts Omicron cheers and goes home and waits for the disease to wear off in a day or two.
Well, that may happen at Christmas time, so yeah. We'll see. As more, I mean, we've already had several Christmas parties, either with small groups or with our church has had their Christmas party this past weekend. So I would assume more and more churches and folks are going to be getting together for the holidays, and that very thing may happen. But the good news is that if you get the virus, there are many things that you can do in order to protect yourself. And some of those things we've talked about already on this program, in order to get over the virus quickly. And it appears that even the monoclonal antibody treatment at least as of the information that I have, is still effective against the Omicron. So if you happen to get sick, and if you're approaching up, you're in the upper age group, then you might want to consider getting the monoclonal antibody treatment.
Is that a shot? I don't know what I've heard that name bandied. So you got to see a doctor to get that, right? And does he inoculate you or give you a shot with this stuff, whatever it is? It's not a vaccine. What is it?
Well, it's actually antibodies against the virus.
Oh, okay.
So it's a vial, if you will, of antibodies that have been manufactured. Some of them are cocktails, so they're mixtures of antibodies, and that would be a better choice than just a single type of antibody. And so it's like it's doing something similar to the vaccines, except that you're injecting the antibodies against the virus directly into your blood. Now, it's my understanding that it's 4 injections in various places of your body, like your arms, for example. Mm-hmm. And then once you get them, you go home, and people almost feel better almost immediately. So it's pretty quick acting. And it seems
can you get this effective before you exhibit symptoms, or will they refuse to give it to you?
No, they'll refuse to give it to you. You have to actually have a positive test for COVID. You have to have signs of infection, like fever and other types of things that would normally go along with a COVID infection versus a regular flu.
So if you're feeling bad, you might go to an urgent care facility and say, test me. And if the test comes back positive, then you would go see the doctor and he could administer this monoclonal antibody cocktail.
Well, and it depends on where you live, because certain governors have set up centers where you can go and get these antibodies pretty easily. Florida being the DeSantos has set up monoclonal antibody centers around Florida. So the only requirement is you have to, like I said, have to test positive for the virus and have to have some ill effects from the virus, and then you can get treated. Now, I say that I don't know what the cost of this treatment is. The government is footing most of the bill because if you had to go out and buy the treatment yourself without having government assistance, it would be $2,000 to $3,000 for the treatment. So, but the government is subsidizing this, but I don't know if you have to foot the bill for, you know, $200 administration fee that, you know, folks would have to find out for themselves. It's better to get this information ahead of time. Taking the vitamins and quercetin and all of this other stuff that we've mentioned, do it ahead of time. Know the doctors that will actually prescribe, for example, ivermectin if you should need it ahead of time, so that you don't run into a bind where you're saying, oh my goodness, I'm sick. Now I got to do all this research, and doing the research while you're sick is not any fun. And so you would have to have a loved one to do that. But if you can get the information ahead of time, know where you need to go, who you need to call, that would be much better, to be proactive than to be reactive once you have the disease.
And in fact, this Omicron might be a blessing in disguise, because if we all catch it and get over a mild case, that means herd immunity, which is, as I understand it, more effective than anything you can get from the vaccine.
Exactly. Yes. So it could be quite a blessing, because there are people around us that are getting COVID again. We'll see. You know, so far, no one recently has, that we know of at least, has died, and they've gotten sick, but they seem to be getting over it relatively quickly.
Like so many other areas these days, in politics and government and economics, that the facts on the ground don't match up with what the government is telling us, and I think that's coming to pass with respect to COVID as well. As the ordinary, everyday American learns more and more and more about the situation, they're buying the lie less and less.
Yes, well, and that's, unfortunately, that's what you have to do in these days, because deception is great as we see the day approaching.
Speaking of deception, I'm switching to the.
Are you switching
my segue?
Before you switch.
Oh yes.
Before you switch, I just want to throw my little two cents in. I have never experienced so much misinformation and disinformation in my entire life. You get to a point where at 3 o'clock in the morning, when nobody else is around and nobody else is there to debate you, that I don't know what to believe. I mean, I believe you guys. I will take your word over any of these anonymous types, but they're so sincere and they're so earnest.
Okay. It's Clark versus Fauci.
Who do you bet on now?
You look at their faces. You look at them talking. Walensky and Fauci and all the rest of them, and Waltz and, you know, Minnesota Governor Waltz, and Malcolm, Jan Malcolm, who's the head of the health department here. And you look at these people, and they're so earnest. They're so sincere. And you kind of, you look in their faces and you say, okay, what's their tell? What, you know, there's something there that tells them, that will tell me, oh, these people are full of it. They're just selling me something. And I can't find it. I mean, everybody is just so incredibly sincere. It's like they're convinced themselves.
Well, I think that's part of it. They certainly, the foot soldiers are convinced. And so, you know, it's the best thing. Everybody, you know, we would be over this had everybody gotten vaccinated, is the message. But, yeah, of course, that isn't true, because the vaccines were not 100% effective as what you would need in order to basically produce herd immunity. So, you know, we're not going to get there with these vaccines. And the disease continues, I think, in part because of these so many vaccines.
By the way, we should mention here that Dr. Don is not a medical doctor. Not a medical doctor. But he's really smart. And he is a biochemist with years of experience in the pharmaceutical industry. So he knows whereof he speaks when it comes to viruses and their behavior and vaccines and that kind of thing. So we certainly appreciate your expertise in this. And I think it's, you know, from my own personal point of view, I take Dr. Don's view much more seriously and authentically than I do what I hear from the CDC and all those other alphabet organizations. Because those people you're talking about, it sounds so convinced, and their careers are at stake here. You know, their reputation.
It almost seems like it's more than just careers.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so vitally earnest about convincing me to believe what they're selling.
Well, what happens when you tell a lie? It's a little lie, and then you have to defend the lie, and you get deeper and deeper and deeper, and you gather more and more evidence to support your original lie. It's a tendency that humans have, and I think the same effect is available here. What if they said, came out one day and said, okay, we were wrong from the beginning?
Well, yeah, I think there's too much pride to ever admit that.
Yes.
Well, we all have a very little experience in having public figures lie to us constantly over and over and over, and then get to a point that says, well, okay, it just happened this one time. Mm. I mean, and I'm thinking about Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And, you know, and finally he said, I never saw anything of him coming on the TV screen and saying, oh, okay, just that one time. Mm. All right. Okay, I did have relations.
Admitting guilt is something that we should not expect in a great number of areas from these people, and I hate to call them leaders, but people in authority.
Oh, well, and the other part of it too that I have problems with is I have so little experience with lying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes.
See, look, you guys bought it. Look at that. Look at that.
Don't kid yourself. Anyone who proclaims that they have not sinned is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've been down that road a couple of times, but.
But yes, I mean, we shouldn't forget in all of this that who is ultimately behind deception, and that is the father of deception, Satan himself. So what we are seeing, I think what we're seeing worldwide, you know, personally what I think is what we're seeing worldwide is that Satan is working overtime because he knows that his time is short.
It's funny you should bring this up, because I've just been reading in the book of John Jesus' view of lies, and he's discussing with the Jews what's true and what's not, and the father of lies comes into the discussion. I think it applies to us here in this day and age every bit as much as it did then. The other topic has to do with Genesis and science, and I think maybe we could start if I just ask you this question, Don. Have you ever heard a scientifically derived reason for disbelieving the history in Genesis?
Not a scientific reason. Folks will, of course, you've got the old agers, and then, of course, you got the new agers, like myself as a young Earth, mm-hmm. As opposed to eons and eons of time. Really, either one is a belief system. We happen to have a historical record called Genesis, which points more to a younger Earth as opposed to a older Earth. And then you have to look at what scientific evidence is there for either one side or the other. But arguments against, for example, Genesis being a historical document wind up not being arguments of science, but arguments of opinion. So, there's a... Go ahead.
Yeah, you could say logic, too. I mean, science is a way of organizing logic and applying it to data and then postulating causes and effects.
Yes.
It's a method of doing that.
So, basic science, I mean, if you use the scientific method, then... we'll all agree that, okay, you've come up with a hypothesis, you've tested your hypothesis, and in your experiment, the hypothesis, either was proved or disproved, and then other people can repeat your experiments and find out that, oh, yeah, okay, your hypothesis is, what you're proposing is correct. You know, there is such a thing as gravity, and here's how gravity behaves, and it depends on the mass of the object.
Okay, so construct an experiment that disproves that a serpent talked to Eve.
Yes. Yeah, of course, there is no... experiment that you can derive for that particular or if you're talking about talking animals you also have the case with Balaam and Balaam's donkey that is described in scripture. So there are at least historical descriptions within scripture of these things happening. So unless it happens to you or, somebody that you know, then you would say, well, that's foolishness. That's ridiculous. You know, of course, animals don't talk to humans. And that would be correct in the natural course of things. But in both cases, the system was being perturbed by outside forces.
Well, logic would tell you I've never seen or heard an animal speaking. But that doesn't say it couldn't have happened for a specific purpose at a specific time for reasons we don't understand.
That's correct. And however, even in those cases, the Bible does explain why these things happen or why those two incidences happen. For example, with Satan talking through, and we know it's Satan because of other scriptures. You can get down to, for example, I think it's 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4 talks about, actually references the beguiling of the serpent of the woman, Eve, and referring specifically that was Satan. So even in the New Testament, they believed that actually happened. And from a historical point of view, at least from mankind's point of view, of course, that was the point of the fall. We call it the fall or the great fall. And Eve was beguiled or deceived, if you will, by the serpent. And of course, Adam was watching this whole thing, apparently, and then he takes a bite of the fruit. Some stories have it an apple. We don't know what type of tree it was, but it takes a bite of the fruit, and therefore the deception is no longer a deception. He willfully does it. And then, you know, the fall takes place because there are consequences of sinning. And that was the first man's first sin. And, of course, the original sin then brings the fall. And the whole earth and the whole creation is modified based on the act of Adam and Eve, in this case, in disobeying what God had said. So God, you know, placed them in a garden, and he placed and there were many trees in the garden, but there were two trees. One was the tree of life. The other one was this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God commanded them, if you eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of the good of good and evil, you shall surely die. So God was testing them to see, you know, if they would indeed, you know, believe him, or the serpent beguiled Eve and said, "You shall surely not die if you eat of the fruit. Matter of fact, you're going to be like God." Which, of course, if we go to Isaiah 14, it talks about the serpent wanting to be like God, and he was bringing that lie down to earth and contaminating, if you will, the minds of Adam and Eve to believe that, gee, the reason why God had this tree in the garden in the first place was so that and the reason why he doesn't want you to eat it is because you're going to be like him and you're going to be like God. So they thought they were missing out on something, and that's what Satan does. He tempts us to say, oh, you know, yeah, if you do this, yeah, you're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to have something that you don't have right now. And things will be better for you. You have a better life. And as we know, Satan being the great deceiver, that is not the case. And so the instant of the serpent talking to Eve is one that sets the whole fall scenario into play. And hence is the reason why it's in the Bible in the first place, is because it answers the question, you know, how did we get here, and how did we get here in the state that we're in?
And science is no part of this picture.
None whatsoever. It's a philosophy. It's a theology, obviously, and which brings into, of course, that God now needs to send a Savior, who is Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate this season.
And it's interesting with the whole question of evolution. Science has little to do with that either, as it turns out. That's another belief system that we need to militate against, not with science helps in the argument, I guess, because it's come a long way since the days of the garden.
Well, and the more we do research into the early history of the earth, the more we find that it supports the Genesis description, and especially the Genesis flood and the Ice Age and all of this other stuff that we've talked about before.
Does indeed. I want to mention the Creation Moments website to you, creationmoments.com. There you'll find a reservoir of information that explains scientifically the biblical story of creation, because science, in fact, is a great ally in establishing the truth of that. But it isn't all science. It's history and it's logic, and there's a large element of faith in there, too. And it's like once you accept the story, you start to see how it all fits together and makes perfect sense. And I think that's the key, is that first step of faith. And Don, we thank you for coming by, and well, we covered a lot of ground today. And
wow,
yeah. Yes, we did everything from the virus to the beginning of the fall.
that means there's nothing left to say except thank you very much, and we'll look forward to next Tuesday. Okay, have a great week.
Okay, you folks have a great week as well.
See you next week, Don.